הווה נגילה, הווה נגילה, הווה נגילה ונשמחה. הווה נגילה, הווה נגילה, הווה נגילה ונשמחה. הווה נרננה, הווה נרננה, הווה נרננה ונשמחה. הווה נרננה, הווה נרננה, הווה נרננה ונשמחה. אורו אחים, אורו אחים בלב שמח, אורו אחים בלב שמח, אורו אחים בלב שמח, אורו אחים בלב שמח, אורו אחים, אורו אחים בלב שמח. Hello everybody, welcome to the Judge Eve Show, and the Hebrew song you heard means everybody let us be happy and have a merry heart, so I hope we all do. And I'm just blessed today. It's going to be a very, very special show. I have return guests, Pastor Chaplain Skip Wendell Wright and Diane, his wife, who are really like one. They have the Capenna Ministries. He'll correct me if I'm not saying things correctly. He was, the chaplain in his senior year at the Kamehameha Christian School in Hawaii. I'm going to have him talk a little bit about Hawaiian custom. He's a Vietnam veteran. He was a policeman in Honolulu PD. I asked him if he was a part of Hawaii Five-O, the TV show. He said no, his uncle had been. And since May 1978, he's been in many, many Christian leadership positions, was ordained as a pastor in 1988 by Agape Word Church in Honolulu, married Diane, the most important thing, in September 1978, at which time both of them started Capenna Wright Ministries. And also let me add that Skip, we call him Skip, forgive me, Pastor Skip. He's been an actor, producer, he's been in movies, and he was the first chaplain for Media Fellowship International since 2010, so that's amazing. And to reach him, and you should support him any way you can financially, it's K-A-P Wright, W-R-I-G-H-T, at C, the letter C, faith.com. That's Cap Wright at cfaith.com. And before I introduce them, we just humble ourselves before you, Lord. We know that you're going to do something very special on this show today, that I'm beyond touched. And we thank you that the meditations of our hearts and the words of our mouth are acceptable in your sight, O Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Welcome, welcome, Pastor Skip and Diane.
Mahalo.
And Pastor Skip, I would love for you to give us a little bit of your Hawaiian culture and background as the show goes on. So mahalo means hello? Is that what that is?
Mahalo means, like, thank you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's what we say when we say thank you. So, I see.
And Diane, I know you're not Hawaiian, but I take it you know a few of these words as well, right?
I know a few, but when I don't get it right, he's quick to correct me.
Praise God, right? But let me just tell a little bit. Skip, the Lord had shown me some time back that you were from the tribe of Ephraim. And, I thought, that's not one of the 12 tribes. So I started researching it. And Ephraim was the second son of Joseph. Joseph in the Bible, the one who worked for Pharaoh.
Yes.
And I was reading today, apparently Joseph had two children. Pharaoh appointed him to take care of the years of plenty. So, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead. I'm listening.
Yes. So that there would be food in Egypt for the years of lack. It's in Genesis 41. But what amazed me, he was married to Potiphar's daughter and had two sons before the drought, before the famine. The first one was Manasseh, which means God, let me forget the troubles I've had. Ephraim was the younger son, and it was because God let him be fruitful in this land. And then he took his two sons in Genesis 48 to be blessed by Jacob. And listen to this. The older son was to be blessed with Jacob's right hand and Ephraim, the younger, with his left hand. But Jacob did the opposite. And when Joseph tried to correct his hand, Jacob, Israel, said, no. He said,
right.
Manasseh will be great, but Ephraim will be greater. and through him will come many nations. And it really touched me because of your background, if you care to share a little bit, Pastor Skip.
Wow, where do we begin?
Like, well, are you pure Hawaiian?
I was born and raised in the islands, on the island of Oahu. My family, I mean, we were born and raised in Hawaii. I am part Hawaiian, and, you know, I have Portuguese and Filipino. Like I said last time, you're like Heinz 57. So I'm cosmopolitan. That's another thing.
So through you came a lot of nations, haven't they?
Yeah, and I came from a lot of nations.
You see, that's what I'm thinking. That is so funny.
I was born and raised in the islands and attended Kamehameha schools.
Yeah.
From grade school all the way up through high school.
Kamehameha had been a Hawaiian king, right? A very famous.
Yeah, that's correct. That's,
yes.
And I need to correct one thing that you said, and
yes.
I'm very honored and blessed that I was actually one of the first chaplains with Media Fellowship.
Okay, I thought you were the first.
There were 13 of us.
Yes.
That were commissioned at the same time. So I just need to say that just so people understand.
Please.
I wasn't
please.
The only one, so... I
always correct me. Oh, please. Yeah, no, I thought you were the first one, so I definitely was wrong. So thank you.
No, that's okay. And, the senior chaplain and the senior person and the pastor in charge of the ministry is Pastor Bob Reitz. So he's still the senior pastor.
Wow.
And, I just wanted to say that first and foremost. And Diane and I actually met in Honolulu.
Was she Hawaiian?
Yeah, she came looking for Mr. Wright and she found him. I know that's an old joke, but yeah, it still works once in a while.
Let me just have Diane say hi. Diane, welcome also to the show.
Oh, thank you, Judge Eve. We just appreciate you having us on your show, and we just want to be able to touch as many hearts with the gospel as we can.
Amen. Amen. That's what it's all about. That's why this show is even in existence. Thank you. So go ahead, Pastor Skip. What happened when Diane looked for Mr. Wright? Did she find him in you?
Yeah, it took her a while, but you know, she finally saw the light.
And I love the one story, and again, because we covered it last time, what about I want some space? And you
okay.
Thought...
You know, I was just thinking that, and I was just hoping you wouldn't go there again.
Diane would.
Yeah, sure, yeah. Well, you know, there was a point in our relationship we were getting serious, and she knew I was getting serious, and I think I was a little bit more serious than she was at the time.
Yeah.
And so it was after a church service, and we were walking, and she finally just said, you know what, I need some space. So I said, okay. So, you know, the bright guy that I am, I gave her 20 feet. So we walked a little bit. She turned and saw me still walking, and she said,
yes.
Oh, I need more space. So I said, okay. I let her have about a half a block.
Yes.
And so we walked a little bit farther, and then she said, yes. No, I'm telling you, I need space. I said, okay. I gave her a whole block. And she finally, I think, she could feel me walking behind her because she stopped at the bottom of the hill.
Yes.
And she turned around, looked at me, she waved to me, come on, and, you know, I walked with her. We've never been parted since.
She meant space, not to talk to each other for a while, right? That kind of space, Diane?
Yeah. What's that?
I say Diane meant to have space, not to talk to each other, not to see each other for a while.
Yes.
Yeah, that's right. And then it was in 19... The other thing, in case anybody read that bio, we were married in 1982.
Oh, I thought the 87. See, my eyes or my writing is no good.
Well, actually, on the bio, it says 78 or something. But no, 1982, we've been married. So this year, we'll be married 31 years, and we're really excited. In fact, you know what?
What?
We actually have an anniversary that's very special to Diane and I both today.
Today, your house, right?
Yes,
say that.
This is the first. This is our first anniversary of actually moving into our new home.
Praise God. Congratulations. And that's in Washington State, not too far from Seattle, Washington.
Yes, it is.
Right?
We're just about 25 miles north of Seattle, and
yeah.
We are so blessed. And we're looking forward to you coming up for a visit, too.
Me, too. You know, the one time that I was going to see you last weekend, my kids actually needed me to stay overnight last week.
Oh, well,
that's where you needed to be.
And I did,
that was okay because it actually worked out well because we had
yes.
friends that came up from LA,
oh.
and they called us on Friday,
yes.
and they said, "Hey, where are you? What are you doing tonight?" And we said, "Oh, not much, nothing special."
Wow.
So, well, why don't you come join us? So we spent the night on the peninsula with them.
Praise God!
They hosted
Thank
us,
you.
And we had a great evening, a great afternoon, great evening, and then the next
yes.
day we had. Spent the day with them, and
praise God.
We're just so blessed by them. I mean, we have been. In fact, we just came back from a trip where people actually flew us down to L.A. because they thought we needed a break.
Oh, how isn't that wonderful? And you see how God worked it all out. I felt so badly that I had to cancel. You know,
we're gonna have you up.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. But, I mean, it didn't happen last weekend, and I thought of all the weeks in 3 years, you know, if I babysat, it would be a little bit in the afternoon or, you know, during the week. Never had I had. Isn't that funny?
That's yeah, okay. That I tell you what, I
yes.
really envy you. And,
you
know, we have 10 grandchildren. We also have a brand new grandson and a Hanai, what we call like an adoptive type great granddaughter.
Oh, you're kidding. How do you say it in Hawaiian?
Yes, they are. In fact, our great-grandson, that's my grandson, Liloz, and
yes.
his wife, Alicia, that's their son, and his name is Chance.
Oh, for him. What does that mean?
And we would really appreciate everybody, you know, keeping him in prayer.
Yes.
You know, he's been diagnosed with Down syndrome, but you know what? We know that God's going to use that young boy.
No, let's reverse it. We can do it in prayer. Do you want me to pray? Do you want me to pray?
Yes, please.
Okay, listen, I've seen miracles, okay?
Yes,
Father
amen.
God, and you're going to be anointed as prophets today. That is a special surprise for all of you people, which is awesome, and I'll tell you why in a minute. But Father God, we humble ourselves before you. We thank you and praise you. You said whenever two or three of us shall agree as touching anything, it shall be done for us. His name is Shant, did you say?
Chance. It's like the word chance, but with an S at the beginning.
I see. So we lift up Chance to you right now, Lord, your special child. You, the manufacturer, we know you can rewire the wires in his brain. We speak to his genetic combination. We command it to be perfected. In Jesus' name, let all those genes and molecules, whatever is needed to be done, to be brought to perfection. For by your
yes.
stripes, he is healed
yes,
in Jesus' mighty name. And he's going to have a genius IQ because we
yes,
enter.
He will. Absolutely.
Amen. Amen. Because
Praise
we enter.
He's a chip off the old block. Huh?
You got it. Because we enter.
I'm talking about God right now.
You know, whatever Satan meant for harm, God is going to use for good. And we enter Satan's council room, and we serve him notice that he made another mistake, for we're going
Amen.
To take and overtake and take more land like King
Amen.
David did in Ziklag.
That's right. That's right.
And we
think, you know, what
yes.
it doesn't matter what we think. What I see in my heart and what Diane and I both is we pray for him
yes.
as well as our Hanai great-granddaughter and you know, other friends who have just been, one of our board members, you know, her grandson, little
yes.
Robert, and her stepdaughter, JC, we've been praying for them, and all we see is God's miracle work.
Praise God.
By faith, and we're beginning to see those things that we call that are not actually
yep.
coming to fruition, and
Romans
they're actually
course.
Happening, and we're just so blessed and honored that
Amen.
God allows
Amen.
Us to minister
yep.
to people, and
Yes.
all we're doing is stepping out in faith and believing what his word says and calling it the way God calls it and he wants
Romans.
Us to call it. And he does his part.
Romans 4:17 calls things that are not as though
That's
they were.
Right.
And
That's
I want to add how you have your weekly right. Bible studies and you both minister to people privately as well. So people, you need to get in touch with Pastor Skip and Diane. And am I giving the right email? CapWright@cfaith.com.
That is correct.
Okay, praise God.
Yeah,
let
they,
me
they can reach me on Facebook, too. Just look for Skip Wright, and you'll see a picture of a kind of handsome guy, but a really beautiful young lady, beautiful blonde, hanging on to him, letting everybody know, say, hey, he's mine.
Yeah. Yep, that's Diane. She's gorgeous. She's movie star beautiful. She's blue-eyed blonde, and Skip is gorgeous. How would you characterize yourself as a movie character? What would you say?
Somebody told me I look like Ernest Borgnine.
No.
I don't know.
But you're better looking, but you're very cosmopolitan. That's the word.
Yeah,
right?
I am. In fact, I was part of a pilot that was being shot for a possible TV series, and I still could. And I played a Native American. Then I've done voiceover, and I've done some other characters where I was actually a Hispanic or Latino male, and then I've done some things where I actually got to be Hawaiian.
Before I am led to pray for you as a prophet, because, you know, I wanted to do it before the break, if that's okay with you, and then have you tell us what's on your heart, because I know there are many things that you've done and are doing, like chaplaincy, that you're not ready for and other things. But tell us about the Hawaii. What should we know about Hawaii that normally people don't know?
Oh, gosh, there's so much. I think the thing that most people, most islanders, there's things personally, you know, as far as family, we look at family a little bit different. I mean, family is very close.
Yeah.
It's close to a lot of people, but especially with islanders, you know, anybody who's watched Lilo and Stitch, they remember, you know, they kind of use the word ohana. Ohana never means, you know, leaving somebody behind or whatever they said, but, you know, ohana to us as islanders, and whether you're Hawaiian or Samoan or Tongan, Fijian, Tahitian, or from the Philippines, just like other native indigenous people, like we find on the reservation when we minister there.
Native Americans, you mean?
Native American Indians.
Yes.
Very close. Family.
What is ohana? What does ohana mean?
Ohana is family.
Oh.
When we refer to ohana, it's family. There's a word that I use on occasion, and in fact, I've been using it in some of my ministry on Facebook and so forth, and the word is onipa'a. Onipa'a is a word that was used back in the days when Queen Liliuokalani was, she was removed from her throne. She never relinquished her sovereignty, but
she was forced to step down from the throne. How long ago?
That was back in the late 1800s,
okay,
around 1893.
Yes.
But the word onipa'a she used, and it was sort of a battle cry or a cry of the people. Onipa'a is a word that means united firmly together. It's a strong unit. The word pa'a would mean to stick together or to bind together.
Wow.
But onipa'a is united as one. It's like when the Bible talks about when Jesus prayed to the Father about us, he said, Father, make them one as we are one.
Yes. And you want to hear something?
You were a threefold cord. You know that when read the word about the threefold cord is not easily broken. It's that intertwining. It's that that relationship like between a husband and wife, the way the Bible puts it.
Yes.
We become one with each other.
Yes.
We may be individuals, but when we're joined in the spirit with Christ, in God, through Christ and with the Holy Spirit, there's a bond, there's a unity that's stronger than, anything else, and that's onipa'a.
Almost like the genetic code, and two things. Ani in Hebrew means I. I can't get over that in Hawaiian, oni is the one also. Secondly, can you imagine? Secondly, you said exactly what I was going to say as to why I was going to anoint you both as prophets, because you are intertwined as one. So thank you for that. Because, I talked to Bill Bauman this week for a few minutes, and I said to him, about his mother wanting to use them to do good things. And he said you had told him the exact same thing about half an hour before I talked to him. So, that's a prophet in action. So let me tell you, it's very, very interesting. I think there's been only one, maybe two other people in the past. I've been anointed as a prophet in the early 80s. And it was done in person. The lady who anointed me was a prophet and was oiled from Jerusalem. So there was just one or two other people, but I've never anointed anybody. And when I was talking to you so many weeks ago, I just had to tell you that I had to anoint you as a prophet. And I've never done that before, and certainly never on the telephone. So, you know, I'm researching the word. Lord, do I need to be in person and with oil? And the answer is no. And I just like to give a couple of verses. You know, it talks in the Bible, you know, that the prophets anointed people as priests in the Old Testament. Then they anointed them as prophets. And what amazed me in 1 Samuel, that he anointed King Saul, not just to become king, but to become a prophet. And he told him that the spirit of prophecy would come upon him. And I'm looking to see the exact citation. I had it here, and I'm not seeing it offhand. It was verse 21, but then he started prophesying before he was actually made king. Isn't that amazing?
That's right, and, absolutely.
And then we come to actually Luke 4:18, which is really based on Isaiah 61:1, where Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, you know, to heal the brokenhearted and so forth." So what it is today, we're asking the Holy Spirit to anoint you both as prophets. And I'm just an instrument, having been so anointed, to impart it to you. So are you both ready to receive it, Pastor Skip and Diane?
Okay. Yes, we are.
Praise God. Praise. Thank you, Jesus. We humble ourselves before you, Lord. We thank you and praise you. We invite your presence, Holy Spirit. The spirit of the prophets. Let me just add one more thing. In the Old Testament, the Spirit of God had to come upon the prophet so he would know what to say of the Lord. In the New Testament prophets, because we already have the Spirit within us, it's just a matter of our spirit being open up to the Spirit of God. So you don't have to have that external influence only. It can come from within. You know, you get to see visions. You get to know what's going to happen in the future. You get to heal people. You get to see inside people. You see the past. You see the future. And Holy Spirit, I lift up both Pastor Skip and Diane to you right now, the one unit of Capenna Rite Ministries. I invite your presence, Archangel Michael. He's laying hands on both of you together. And I thank you for imparting to them the spirit of the prophet, both Old Testament and New Testament prophets, so that they are able to go out and heal the brokenhearted and redeem the bondage people and bring them salvation and bring them to their perfect life in Jesus' mighty name, to be used in inner healing, Lord, as you've used me, to give them the visions, to support one another, to walk as one. When one sees one part of the situation, the other one confirms. And Lord, as you have sent the disciples two by two, and as you've showed me marriages where two by two, they have one heart, he's the head, she's the backup. They walk together forward like a three-legged race, not one saying, "I want to go forward," one, "I want to go back." And then they can turn back to back to each other to protect each other 360 degrees. And we speak it upon you both. Pastor Skip and Diane, in Jesus' mighty name, you being anointed with oil by the angel, he's holding your head, Skip, and he's pouring oil on your head, and he's now holding you, Diane, and it's from a pitcher. It's coming out as golden liquid, and we thank you for that. And lift up your hands, both of you, please, because he's going to pour oil on your left hand. Skip, the two inner hands together. Now the right hand for Diane, because your hand for both of you is the hand of authority. Left hand is the hand of compassion. When you both together, it's you doing both. And now he's pouring oil on your feet, your right foot. Skip, Diane, your left foot, and the two feet together, wherever your feet shall tread upon, shall belong to God, like Joshua 1:8. In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Are you sensing anything, Pastor Skip?
Oh, amen. Just confirmation.
Praise God. How about you, Diane?
We are so blessed. Thank you.
I've never been led to do this before. So we thank you, Lord.
You know, I think after the break, I'll share a little bit more about a scripture, a few scriptures that God has been giving me over the past few weeks, and I've been sharing with our Bible study group and occasionally shared with, you know, on Facebook. But, you know, I think it's just really important. In fact, today I was reminded of two things.
Yes.
So 14:14 talks about Caleb, you know, along with Joshua to the promised land. And they were not young men.
No.
It is never too late when God has called you to do something.
Amen.
You are never too old. It is never too late.
Amen.
Obedience. And if we're just not afraid to trust him and step out in faith, he's going to do it. I mean, it's not about us anyway.
Amen. And, besides, you're only 21, because remember, he restores our youth. So I don't care if you have great-grandchildren. You know, I say I'm between 3 and 21, depending. You know, in a casino, it would be 21, but otherwise I'm 3. Because doesn't he say we have to come to him like little children, right?
That's right. And, Diane will say it. I'm a big kid at heart anyway.
So. You know, we have a few minutes yet, so why don't you both tell me what it is that you've been doing in ministry lately, what's been on your heart, and we'll continue it after the break as well.
Okay. Well, I'm gonna talk. Yeah. Diane's being a little shy right now, so she's letting me do the talking for a little bit. But you know, I've got to say this about my wife, and I've said this before.
Yeah.
As you were praying, and people who know us, they know this to be a fact.
Yeah.
My wife is, you know, aside from God, she is my backup. I mean, more than
exactly.
Just
that's what God showed me. See?
Yeah, she does not walk behind me. She walks right alongside me. So when you mentioned that three-legged race, that's how we see it. I mean,
praise God. Thank you.
Don't step ahead or don't allow the other one to, you know, fall behind.
Yeah.
And when one of us does, the other one kind of keeps the other one in check in a good way.
Amen. And, you know, that's why Jesus sent the disciples two by two. So if one is down, the other one can lift them up.
The one lifts up. Yeah.
Exactly. Yes.
Hey, I'm so blessed by this, you know, beautiful lady, you know, sitting with me. And as you were praying, just to share a little bit, I mean, we had our heads together we just leaning on each other.
Yes.
And then we had our hands together and our feet. So, that's just how we do things. And
praise God.
The ministry, everything that we're doing, you know, God's doing some amazing things, and some of it we can't get. Like I said, you know, we're still working on some things, but I can share part of the ministry, even though it's more the business end. I have especially been keeping really busy with the production end of our business.
Okay, you mean movies, making movies?
Yeah.
Wow.
We mentioned a screenplay that we've actually had, and we actually have several screenplays.
Yes.
And so I've just been so blessed with two awesome writers that have really felt in their hearts, impressed upon their hearts to not just help me with the project, but they're kind of taking the helm as far as writers. And I've been in touch with the outstanding, my mentor and Diane's, you know, our mentor and friend who had anointed me and ordained me as pastor. Who's also a well-known novelist, Paul Stamm.
Yes,
and
I don't know him. Is he a Christian writer? Is he a Christian writer?
He is a great writer. In fact, you can catch catch him on his blog, his website.
Oh.
And he has a website called Paul's Books, and Paul's Books.
Paul's
Books. Paulsbooks.net.
.net. Mm-hmm.
Paulsbooks.net, and it's all one word, Paul's Books.
Yeah.
And he's got several books, but we have three of his books that he's been given us the rights to do it. And one of my favorites, the first one that we're doing is called A Question of Reputation.
Wow.
So we've been working on that and praying about that. We've had some awesome people help us get started with it. Dear Sister in Christ, you know, Audrey Larson helped us start the writing. She did the first draft, and now we have two other writers come on board. So God has really been blessing us, and there's so much more.
And had
we don't
to
have
skip.
Enough time on the radio, so.
I know, but you know what? Let me tell you something, and I'm looking at the clock because we do have to take a break just now. Why don't we do it after the break? We'll let you know what God is showing me and what God is going to do with them, and we'll be right back, everybody. Hello, this is Judge Eve Ellingwood, also known as Cohen and Sternlight. I'm a retired judge, and I'm glad to be on BBSRadio.com Station 1 on alternate Saturday, and my website, where you can also get my book, Diary of a Sabra Faith in Action, is an e-book. The website is www.90210holocaust.com. And I also will do counseling, whether spiritually or general legal questions such as unemployment, divorce, other questions with which so many people are faced today. And the way to contact me for that would be at my email, which is eejudgeeve79@gmail.com. That's E like elephant, E like elephant, J-U, D like David, G like George, E like elephant, E like elephant, V for victory, E like elephant, 79@gmail.com. I look forward to hearing you, and rather from you, and to be able to be of help. Thank you. Hello, everybody. We're back, and we didn't mean to put you in a cliffhanger, but we had to. But let me just say what I was going to tell Skip and Diane. I was telling them the anointing is just so heavy upon me that from this day forward, Diane and Skip, you're going to see miracles in ways you have never even imagined. Your ministry will just spread like wildfire all over the world. You're going to be getting calls from, I was going to say Hindustan, and I don't even know where that is, but from far remote corners of the world, China, Japan, Singapore, all of Europe, all of Africa, all of Asia, and of course the Americas, and of course Hawaii. So be prepared to travel. I don't know why, but that's what's going to happen in Jesus' name.
Amen. Yeah, I got to tell you, in fact, I am sitting here, she's nodding already without saying anything. But
yes.
Well, several years back, we were in a service and called out because the man who was also a prophet had a word for us. And
yes.
He said that, and this was, I'm telling you, this is like 20 years ago, and he
wow.
said, we were like, he could see us in a slingshot being pulled back beyond what we could withstand. But then
yes.
at a point in time in the distant future, God was going to catapult us into a future that was going to be beyond what we could even imagine. And that
wow.
lines up exactly with what you are saying.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I just saw it, you know, and it's going to be so awesome. And that's why you needed to be prophets, because you need to have that direct communication line with God.
Amen.
You know, it's one thing to pray and wait on the Lord, but when you're a prophet, you'll find you'll just know things ahead of time. You'll know things. You'll know what to do. You'll be led where to go. And it's going to be exciting. And thank you for sharing that, Diane. That blesses me beyond end. Thank you. And Pastor Skip, please go ahead and share what it is that you have in the works and what it is you'd like to do and what would you like the people to know. And again, to contact you, they should email you or go on Facebook. But the email is K-A-P like Paul, Wright, W-R-I-G-H-T, at C, the letter C like Charlie, Faith, F-A-I-T-H.com, CapWright at CFaith.com. Please go ahead, Pastor Skip.
No, I thank you for doing that. We actually may even be having a website up pretty soon.
Good. Do you have a name?
Well, we're not sure. We're working on it, so it probably will be Capenna Wright Ministries.
Okay.
Let's
spell Capenna, K-A-P-E-N-A.
K-A-P-E-N-A and Wright, W-R-I-G-H-T.
That helps. That's a good Hawaiian name.
Some people will put R-I-G-H-T, but it's W-R-I-G-H-T. So
that's why I like to spell things.
Wright Ministries.
Amen.
And we have, you know, our heart's desire, you know, is always just to train people up in the Word, encourage
yes.
people. You know, I love to counsel because, you know, anytime I have an opportunity to minister to someone, it helps to take my eyes off myself and what's going on with us.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we go through stuff just like anybody else. We've gone through some real challenges. But, you know, I'm just so blessed that God allows us to know Him in such an intimate way.
More now than ever. More now than ever for both you and Diane.
And, you know, we just want to encourage everyone, you know, and we love to encourage people, especially to see people grow. You know, I come kind of old school sometimes, and, you know, I come off as, in fact, we were just laughing because the other week I was talking to some neighbors, and sometimes they tell me I still have that look, you know.
What is the look? What is the look?
It's a look. It's like, you know, when you see a police officer watching you and you're afraid, well, what did I do? And you know you didn't do anything wrong, but still it's like,
You're a policeman for God, so that's good.
That's the thing, you know, because I heard, it was so funny because someone was walking their children, their two boys, in front of our yard, and I've been blessed. I've been able to take care of the yard pretty good, and I heard Mama tell the boys, I said, now don't you go on that guy's grass, man, he'll thump you. Well, you don't even know me. You know, it got me thinking that's how people look at God.
Yes, exactly.
God is, you know, you do something wrong, he's just looking to thump you, and he's not. He wants us to have such an intimate relationship with him.
Yes.
And if I may, I'd like to say something, you know, because I know we've been sharing, you know, in Isaiah, you know, chapter 5:2, it talks about, you know, verses 1 and 2 in chapter 5 of Isaiah. God is talking through Isaiah, and he's talking about him sending his vine dresser. He's talking about Jesus coming.
Yes.
And how he prepared the soil, and part of that preparation, he went to the most fertile soil on the top of a hill.
Yes.
And he cleared out stones. We've been talking about stones for the last 2 months, and I don't talk about the rolling stones. I'm talking about in the Bible, and in this case, those stones represent the legal, you know, accusations that the enemy throws at us.
May I add something to that? And that's where you'll be used.
I've used
the inner healing aspect. God showed me a long time ago, we're all damaged property, whether it's things that we have suffered, even as babies or even in the womb that, you know, enter our subconscious, or generational curses. And those are stumbling blocks, too, because we cannot have the pure passage of the Holy Spirit show through us when we're damaged like that. So
that's
go
right.
ahead. That's like right on. Go ahead, please. Yes.
Let me kind of read this from, and this is from the Complete Jewish Bible, and I
Good.
Love the translation.
You see? You're Ephraim, so what do you expect?
Well, you know, I love it because the translation, there's times where it just really spells it out a lot clearer from a Jewish perspective, and I really appreciate that. And Isaiah 5:2 says this, and it's talking about Jesus, talking about the vine dresser and that fertile hill. He dug up its stones and cleared them away.
Yes.
All those things that are embedded in us, and you said it, from it doesn't matter where it came from, how long it's been there, but Jesus digs that stuff up and clears them away, and then he plants that field, that's us, that's our hearts, with the choicest vines. That's not just our hearts, but that's also talking about his field. Part of that, and we're part of that. You know, Jesus said, I chose you, you didn't choose me.
Amen.
And I anointed you, I sanctified you, I set you apart. You're excellent to me, enough for me to want to plant you in my field.
Yeah.
And then he built a watchtower in the middle of that field, and that watchtower is significant because it symbolizes that place from which he watches over us.
Wow.
That's it. He sets a watch over that field to protect it.
360 degrees. 360 degrees and
that's
even
right.
higher level.
360 degrees you're talking about now.
Yes.
And then there's one more thing he does. Yes. Out of that thing, he carved out in its rock a wine press, which is symbolic because, you know, that's that thing it's used to press out wine, to press out, you know, the juice from the grapes.
Right.
And this is what's fun. He says he expected it to produce good grapes, but it only produced sour wild grapes. And then he asks, how come? I've done everything I can. And then he starts talking about, and then you get into the whole thing about faith and, you know, how people lose their way. And I just think back at when Joshua, you know, he called the people, you know, he called them on something. He said, you know, when you look at the last chapter of Joshua 24, and Joshua looks at the children of Israel. And he says, you know, as for me and my house, I'm going to serve the Lord. Who are you serving?
Amen.
So they're trying to insist to him, oh, we're going to serve the Lord too. And he looks at them and he said, no, you're not. And he says, and they said, yes, we will. And he says, no, you're not. I know you. Me and my house, we will, but you won't because you're serving other gods. Every place you've been, you've attached yourself to their gods. You've
talking
attached
about
yourself
the
to
Israelites. Talking about the Israelites.
Talking about the Israelites.
Right.
After God did all these things for you, you still have attached yourself, and the people insisted, said, no, we will serve the Lord.
Yes.
So Joshua did something that I've never heard preached on, and I started sharing, and it's been 2.5 months I've been teaching on this because it's one thing after next.
Yes.
He set a stone before the sanctuary.
Yes.
As a witness to them of what they promised to God, and he told them, he says, as this stone is witness to God's words. In other words, that stone that's been there from before the earth was formed.
Yes.
And filled with you and filled with life. Because, you know, when you look at Genesis, the first few chapters, I mean, the earth was void and without form.
Right.
There were stones here.
Right. Oh.
And that stone that was there to hear God's creative power to create create everything that he created, including us, that's a witness to his word. That
what
same stone
awesome,
is now a witness
what an
of
awesome
what you
revelation.
Just made a statement to God. That stone is a witness to you, to reminder. And I thought it interesting, and it's like, wow, I'm getting goosebumps.
Me too, I know, wow.
I hope you don't mind me sharing this because...
No, I love it. I've never heard that before, that the stones were there in the Tohu Vavohu, you know, in Hebrew.
And he wrote it down, and not only did he write it down in their ordinance and wrote it down as a law, he put that stone in front of the sanctuary, and he said, every time you see this stone, it's a witness to you. It's a reminder to you of what you promised God. So before you even get into the sanctuary, you're going to remember your promise to God. Now, I thought it interesting because we just got through talking about Moses.
Yeah.
And you remember there were two instances where God told him, you know, do something with the rock to produce water because the people were whining.
So what's new, right?
They were whining. Yes. They were complaining. I mean, that was the norm, right?
Exactly. That's why they were in the desert for 40 years.
That's right. The thing was interesting. He used the rock.
Yes.
And that rock represents Jesus Christ. And there's we're talking about Corinthians, where Paul writes in Corinthians chapter 10 to remind us, remind not just the Jewish people, but reminder to us, the first instance when God, you know, that here God had done all these things for the children of Israel to deliver them from where they were.
Right.
And then he's the first time when they were thirsty, he said, Moses, strike the rock. But before he did that, he said, call certain leaders.
Yes.
Witness.
Right.
And then strike the rock.
Right. And why
and
did he do that?
And it water.
Why
and what happened? The people just drank. Nobody thanked God. Nobody gave thanks. Or anything. So, well, about time, Moses.
Why did he have to have witnesses before it produced water?
See, now this is where it gets interesting. That was the first time. The second time, they were whining again. They were thirsty. So Moses was called to, you know, by God. He says, okay, this time call the congregation together, everybody.
Wow.
And this time, speak to the rock.
Wow.
And what did he do that second time? He let his emotions get the best of him. He was frustrated with the people. He was tired of their whining and complaining. And he struck the rock again.
Yes.
And he didn't get to the promised land because of his disobedience. Because God wanted to get the glory for that second time, especially in front of all the congregation. And Moses denied God the opportunity to get the glory. And what happened?
Wow.
The people went away. They just drank, filled themselves, filled their animals, and they were fat, dumb, and happy again. And
it
that
means
represents
thank you.
Grace, because the first time, what did Jesus have to do before he got to the cross?
What?
Isaiah says, by his stripes
we are healed.
He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. He was beaten.
Yes.
The first time.
Right.
And then when he died on the cross, before he died, he said, it is finished. After everything was fulfilled, all that prophecy was fulfilled about himself, he said, I've done everything I can, going back to the field.
Yes.
I've done everything I can do to clear this field and to make the way for, you know, for you to be growing good soil.
Yes.
After he's dead and he's resurrected, we are called to speak his name.
Yes.
To speak to the rock, not continuously beat him up. And people sometimes have a bad habit of continuously putting Jesus and keeping him on the cross instead of looking at the resurrection and by faith calling those things that are not
as though they were.
As though
How
they
do
were.
They keep, what do they do that they keep him on the cross? Is it by words or actions? How do they
it
keep
him
on
the cross? It can be by both. And a lot of times it's just, it's a lack of faith. It's a lack of, of believing that, you know, God died for us. Once for all.
Right.
We keep putting him, we keep crucifying him. You know, the blood cleanses.
Yes.
But we keep going back and said, oh, Lord, you took this trial. You know, sometimes we think we're really holy.
Yes.
And when we're really being humble, when we're just kind of pleading with God, that keeps him on the cross.
And that's
because
the
what
way.
He didn't stay on the cross. He was beaten. He was nailed to the cross. But 3 days later, after he went to hell, took the keys of death and life away from the enemy, he rose.
Exactly.
And he's going to come back. So now all we need to do is speak by faith everything that he spoke. By your stripes, we were healed. Father, thank you for healing.
Yes.
You are Jehovah Rapha. You're the God that heals. Thank you for every provision that we have need of, Father, that you meet that in exceeding abundance according to your riches and glory in Christ. We're supposed to speak to the rock, speak the word.
And also how without faith it is impossible to please
God.
So are you saying that acts and words of lack of faith are the ones that create the problem of keeping Jesus on the cross?
Amen. And you know what? We believe, therefore we speak.
Yes. What's in the heart, right? And then whatever is in the heart is what comes forth.
Yeah, and you know, that's the key. And sometimes people forget that.
Yes.
God, you know, I saw something on Facebook that really, you know, it just really spoke to me. And it was a reminder. It says, you know, I don't care what people think about me.
Yes.
I don't care what they say about me. What I care about, the thing that really drives me, is what God knows about me. And God knows my heart.
Amen.
And that's how God looks at it. He doesn't look at your outward appearance. Man looks at the outward.
And
even when he anointed David, you know, and we talked about that the last time, I think, in 1 Samuel 16. Samuel went to the house of Jesse because God told him, he said, that's where you find the new king.
Right.
Went through every brother, beginning with the oldest one, which traditionally would have been the heir or the most likely candidate.
Right.
But God chose the shepherd. He looked out, he said, look out in the field. He said, hey, is that, that's my son David.
Yes.
Call him, and I'm not doing anything more until he comes. And then when he came, God said, this is the one.
Yes.
And he anointed him. And you know when you talked about the anointing, that oil?
Right.
It was from a ram's, it was from the horn of a ram. And he just poured it on his head, and it dripped down like honey over his beard.
Yes.
That's
why it was golden, what I saw, right?
Yes.
When I saw the
angel. Yes, absolutely.
Oh!
That's why we're sharing. It says, oh, absolutely.
Oh, my goodness. You know how it says, too, the pure in heart shall see God. If we have any ought against anyone, if we still have the damage that we haven't let go, you know, we cannot see God clearly. And I think that, too, leads to a lot of lack of faith. And see, God has used me a lot in inner healing, Pastor Skip and Diane, you know, in meetings, total strangers would come up in line, and God would show me the beginning of their harm, of the damage. And I'm amazed. I have to quickly tell you, because I also want you to say what's on your heart, and, you know, I want you to pray at the end, if you don't mind.
Sure.
A little girl who was molested by her father since she was 2 months old, excuse me, and I saw where it happened, and then he sold her to other people, and I invited Jesus on the scene. It was a women's glow meeting at the time, and the president was there and myself. I saw what she would wear at different ages. I had God forgive her. I forgave her, and I had her forgive herself. And at the end of the session, like, her whole countenance changed. And I told her she's going to minister to other people. They said she went to another healing meeting the next day. This was a Wednesday when I saw her. Friday, she was already ministering to others. And see, that's where you and Diane are going to be used mightily, mightily. Go ahead. I should let
you
know.
You know what? We're in total agreement with that, and we are so humbled and so blessed that, you know, God's already doing, you know, he's doing that, and we cannot put into words, you know, nor eye has seen, nor ear heard, you know, all the wonders that, you know, God, he just,
what
we're
he
very
has
humbled.
For us.
And I can tell you, he means so much more than we can express with mere words. And
exactly.
His word is, I mean, for anybody listening, I promise you, you know, don't just give him a try. You know, Jesus said, if you abide in me, if you live
Amen.
In me, if you're telling me,
John 15.
You allow my words to abide and to live and take up residence in you.
Yes.
You will. Ask what you think. Ask what you can imagine. And Paul says it best in Ephesians 3:20.
Yes.
Is, you know, my God, who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all you could ask or think, and the Amplified adds, or imagine.
Yes. And, you know, it's funny.
Power that works in you. And that power is not just something I have or Diane has or you have, my awesome sister, but everyone who accepts Christ and allows him to take up residence and allows his Holy Spirit to take up residence and guide them.
Yep.
There's nothing you can't do in Christ.
It's funny because that was one of the verses I was going to bring up from John 15, 1 through 15. You know, if he prunes us. And one time I said to him, God, if you prune me anymore to get more fruit, I'm fruity enough. We don't need this anymore. But it's funny. I had John 15, 7 that I wanted to bring up. And it's, if ye abide in me, exactly what you're just saying, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you.
Right.
I mean, people don't understand. You let him be in you. Everything you ask will be done, because then it's according to his will, not
That's
according
right.
to our will. But
you know what's amazing? And
I
just a real quick thing.
Yes.
You know, people are always waiting for God to ask. God doesn't ask you something. He tells you what to do.
Yes, I like that.
We try to be so polite in our Western way of thinking.
Yeah.
It's like, even, you know, when we watch parents, just asking your kids, you know, when you train them up, you tell them how to do something so that they don't get hurt.
Right.
You train them. You train people. Right. In a training, when I went through basic training, it's not somebody asking me what to do. It's somebody telling me how to do it.
Right.
So
they
didn't
say,
you know,
please, would you mind? Right.
You know, and that actually saves, that actually leads to saving your life. Even when I was a police officer going through training, you don't have somebody asking you to do something. They're telling you what to do, and the choice is simple.
Yes.
And God says it in Deuteronomy. It says, I put before you life and death, blessing and cursing.
Yes.
It says, therefore, choose life. You know, choose me.
Yes.
Choose my way, and you have life. You choose the other way, there's no gray areas with God.
Amen. He's black and white.
Put God in a gray area, and there are no gray areas. It's, you know, you either follow him or you don't follow him. You obey him or you don't.
You must be
either
a Sabra.
You
know what that means? A Sabra is Israeli born. You probably not Hawaiian. You were Jewish born in Israel. My husband used to say, with you, there's no gray. It's all black or white. I said, that's the way it is.
Oh, yeah. The only gray on me, I think, is in my hair.
For all of us, right? At the age of three. Pastor Skip, we only have a minute or two. Please say what you need to say, and I'd like you, please, if you would finish with prayer, if you don't mind.
Well, I think what Diane and I would both say is just to encourage and admonish everyone, just like we do. God loves you so much.
Yeah.
He gave nothing less than his best. You know, I shared the expression, ekuliak ikonu'u, which means to stand in your greatest strength, to strive and stand for excellence.
Mm.
And Jesus is excellence. He's the best, and he's the best thing that could ever happen to you. If you don't know him, you need to receive him as your Lord and Savior and ask him into your heart. Believe who he is and believe that he's got nothing less than the best for you. So no matter what you're going through, he'll get you through it.
Amen. Amen. And would you be kind enough, maybe you and Diane together, if you so led, to give us a closing prayer, or if you feel an invitation, because we have really just less than a minute to go, please.
Sure. Father, we praise and we thank you. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for what you're doing in us, with us, and through us.
Yes.
And Father, for those who want to ask into the heart, Father, I just ask everyone to pray in agreement. Everyone, even if you know Christ as your Savior, Lord Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. You lived, you died, you rose again for me, and you're seated at the right hand of the Father, and you're going to come back for us.
Yes.
And Father, right now I ask that as I receive Jesus as my Lord, Father, and I confess him as my Lord, Father, I also ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Holy Spirit, teach me, guide me, lead me in the ways that the Father would have me go in. Father, I thank you that you adopt us in Jesus Christ as your children. We are the apple of your eye. I thank you for all you're doing in us, with us, and through us. I thank you for who you are. You're our healer. You're our provider. Every need is met according to your riches and glory. You don't promise that you'll take away all the bad stuff, but you get us through it. And
amen.
I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Thank you for our sister Eve. I speak an anointing and a blessing on her. I thank you that more people will be listening to this program in the days and months to come and the years to come. In Jesus' name, for your glory, amen.
Amen. And God bless you. Hundredfold blessings to you and Diane. I thank you both from the bottom of my heart for being my guest today. This was a very special event besides your being guests, if you realize that. This was very special. I love you.
Thanks.
I love you people in the audience. And we'll see you soon. Have a blessed day. Thank you, Pastor Skip and Diane.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Hevenu shalom alechem, Hevenu shalom alechem, Hevenu shalom alechem, Hevenu shalom, shalom, shalom alechem, Hevenu shalom alechem, Hevenu shalom alechem, Hevenu shalom alechem, Hevenu shalom, shalom, shalom alechem, Hevenu shalom, shalom, shalom aleichem.